Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
There you are. Morning.
You alright?
Hope you are. Genuinely hope you are. Come on, wakey wakey. Eggs and bakey. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. A lot of you aren't even watching it at 8 a.m. British Summer Time, are you? A lot of you are from all around the world. Night time for you guys. Okay. It has just ticked past 8 in the a.m. British Summer Time on Wednesday. It is Wednesday the 24th of June, in the year of our Lord 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us. As little Harry is off all week, I'm joined by my producer, Jack. How are you this morning, Jack?
I'm doing well, Bo.
Good. It was a bit of a muggy night, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really hot.
Uncomfortable. That's one of the main things in news. Little bit of a slow news day today. No massive movements with like the Persian War or with Andy Bumham or anything. So it's a tiny bit of a slow news day. Also, it's the day after an England game. You've been warned, haven't you, that it'll be wall-to-wall football. But I'll keep it to an absolute minimum because I know you guys don't really care about that at all. But just be warned. That is sort of what the news cycle is today. That's what this show is, the news cycle. Occasionally when people complain, why are you talking about what's in the news cycle this morning? Well, that's what Breakfast with Bo is. That's the concept of the show. Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as the Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. The Load Seaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. You can buy one of these mugs if you want. Off the merch store. No pressure. Basically the best mug you'll ever own, though. Anyway, should we just get into it? Stop faffing about. Why are we fannying about? God damn it. Let's get straight into it. Okay, heat engulfs UK. Yeah, that's the story. I mean, I think that it's setting records. It was really hot last night. It was uncomfortably warm. I always feel a bit silly complaining about the heat because there's some people watching this, right, where they live in a genuinely hot country and it's way hotter than this all the time. But for us, like, the high 30s is, it's warm. Like, right now, we've got the aircon on. But I'm like, it's a bit warm. Okay, all right. Heat engulfs UK and gonna be all right. Gonna be all right. I think that's the thing. Right, so England, should we get the football out of the way? Look, football, there it is. England played Ghana and it was 0-0. That's it. Look, from the state of this, look, you'd be like, oh no, look, Harry Kane head in hands, oh no, we got thrashed 8-0 by Ghana. No, it was 0-0. Doesn't knock us out of the World Cup or anything. It was just a lacklustre performance. 0-0. That's it, okay, all right, won't say much more about it. Oh, other than that, tonight Scotland play Brazil. Brazil, one of the best teams ever. They're not actually amazingly good right now. They're like, so they're top six teams in the world still. They're not favourite to win it or anything, but they're going to play Scotland. I mean, you can expect Scotland to get bashed. All right, again, that's it. That's more or less all I'll say. No more sports ball. I know the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, largely don't care. All right, so let's do it. The Guardian. Ugh. The Guardian, who do you think you're talking to? The Guardian. Who are you addressing? disgusting socialist rag, subversive slop, revolting The Guardian. Schools, rail and hospitals suffer as heat engulfs UK. That is basically the biggest story today, more or less, other than England drew 0-0. Temperatures close to 40 degrees expected amid fears over climate breakdown. It's one of those things, there's like a, in British law, L-O-R-E, law, there was like a terrible, terrible winter in like, what, 1948? The winter of discontent, was it 1948, I think? 47 or 48. Well, it's like the worst winter, terrible, like worst one on record. And it's like it just snowed every single day all the way up to March. All the canals froze over, right? There was a really terrible hurricane in the 80s, what, 1987, 88? Terrible hurricane. Like one of the worst ever. Like loads of trees got blown down, a couple of people died. And 1976 was like our hottest summer on record. It's like, oh, is it as hot as 1976? Is it close to 1976? You know, the hottest summer of all time. Well, they are saying that this summer is set to be hotter than 76. All right. It is going to be hot, like the high 30 or 40 degrees. And tomorrow, they're saying that maybe today will be the hottest June day ever. And then tomorrow will be slightly hotter, breaking the record again. Again, 40 degrees, as hot as that is. For me, for a lot of us here, that is swelteringly hot. That sort of Spain on holiday hot. But in the scheme of things, like if you live in some places in America, like the deserts of New Mexico or something, you'll be like, what? We have that all the time. That's no big deal. What's the problem? 40 degrees. Like in France yesterday, it was 44. Some places in France yesterday. If you truly live in a proper hot country, or like in places like if you live in Nevada, the Mojave Desert, or you live in Phoenix, Arizona, or something, you'd be like 39 degrees. It's nothing. But yeah, our schools, loads of schools are going to be closed, particularly primary schools, because the kiddiewinks, it's like dangerous for them. They're saying. I mean, if you're in an air-conditioned room and everyone's got plenty of water, it's not. I don't think it's that bad. Maybe don't let them do PE. Maybe don't do like long distance running. Maybe without any water. Maybe don't do that. But okay. And rail. We get this in Britain as well. Don't know if you get this in your countries. When it gets too hot, they make the trains go slowly. Like apparently the heat can like or does kind of warp the rails, or not exactly warp them because you wouldn't. The trains couldn't go across them at all if it warped them, but it just like brings the integrity of the rails into question, so you can't go over them at full speed, so all the trains go slowly if it gets too hot. Not all the trains, some of them. And hospitals, like the hospitals have got to be super careful. I mean, yesterday in the England game, don't worry, I'm not going to talk about football itself, but in the England game, like after about 20 minutes in, they stopped the game. For about 20 minutes. For like a rehydration period. Or something. They just stopped the game. I've never known that before in my life. I've never seen that before in my life. Can I think of any time I've ever seen that before? That's unprecedented. I've never known that. They didn't stop it for 20 minutes. Maybe like, sorry, more like 7 or 8 minutes. So all the players could just stop and drink some water. That's a thing now, is it? Apparently it is. Okay, all right. What else have we got? Starmer meets No Stern and Burnham in frosty handover chat. It's one of the data points this morning to do with actual politics. Apparently, the Starmer bot and King Bumham, the first of his name, actually met face-to-face for the first time since Andy Burnham's Makerfield win. And insiders described it as frosty. The meeting wasn't the warmest. Frosty, even, is the quote. That Starmer himself and people in his camp, you know, the team around him, that they're sort of resentful towards Burnham and his team. Yeah, well, he would be. He's been cooed out of power. It's a bloodless political coup d'etat, isn't it? So, yeah. Okay. Apparently the meeting lasted about an hour, which, you know, is a fair amount of time, really, considering how Starmer usually does things. It's usually you're in out. You say what you need to say, he says what he wants to say, and then you're dismissed. So an hour is a fair amount of time. Apparently they just talked about, you know, as smooth a handover as possible. Okay. None of your business, says Nigel Farage of £5 million gift. And this is one of the other stories. Yesterday he went on the news. I think it was actually the BBC. Anyway, one of the mainstream, legacy corporate mainstream media, TV shows. And they asked him about his £5 million gift from that crypto billionaire dude, Christopher Harborne. And Nigel got a little bit weirdly defensive. Now, I'll try and be fair-handed with this, because, of course, I don't like Nigel and Reform, right? Okay? They treated me poorly. That's actually neither here nor there, really. It's got nothing to do with it. I think their actual policies at this point and the way they conduct themselves and their politics is containment and milquetoast are not good enough. However, I do still concede that they're going to be they're better than Lib Dems or Greens or Tories or Labour, like marginally better than the Tories. Right? So this £5 million gift, personally, this is my personal take on it. You're allowed to be friends with a super, super rich person who just wants to gift you money. That's okay. Good for you. Well done. I'm jealous. In a good way. Brilliant. Good for you. I hope I find myself in that situation one day. The key to it, though, is whether something was expected in return for that. You know? If there was actually, whether it was truly just sort of an altruistic gift from that Christopher Harborne to Nigel for his personal protection. And Christopher Harborne, or whoever Christopher Harborne sort of represents or is a front for, whether they expected something in return for that. So if that isn't the case, then this is a complete nothing burger. It really is a complete nothing burger. Nigel's done nothing wrong. There's nothing to see here. Good on you. You're friends with a super rich person who gave you loads of money. You know, well done. But if there is something nefarious to it, then that's important. It is really quite important. Nigel says that, as that headline says, it's just none of our business. Everyone, the whole world. It's none of our business. It could be, though. It might be, though. He got weirdly defensive. Again, I don't want to just needlessly dunk on Nigel and Reform for absolutely no reason. Like, I find it annoying when Reformers try and dunk on Restore for, like, tiny little niggly things. When it's just really petty. It's not necessary. You know? Loads of people, not just Reformers, loads of Restore's enemies, they'll find the tiniest, pettiest, little silly thing that's a true nothing burger, it's really nothing, and they'll try and amplify it as though it's a massive thing, and it's really important when it's obviously not. I think that's lame. I do really think that's lame. But on this, as I say, if there's nothing to it, then there's nothing to it, fine. There might be, though. Ben Habib said there was, and I don't particularly like or trust Ben Habib anymore. Ben Habib said there was Mr. Harborne and those, and a couple of other people, that there is more to it. So, okay, with all that said, and it's being investigated, this £5 million is being investigated by, like, the parliamentary, some sort of parliamentary committee or something. Investigations. Anyway, it's being looked into formally. And we'll see. So I'll just leave it at that. But Nigel went on TV yesterday, and the BBC presenter lady was like, you know, what have you spent the money on? And he just started going, even by asking me that, you're putting me in danger. That's not true. What nonsense is that? And they said, it's none of your business what I spent it. I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. I could have given it away to charity. It doesn't matter. I could have spent it on cars. It doesn't matter. It's my private money. I wouldn't ask you how much money you've spent on handbags or booze or something. So I'm not, you say, I'm deliberately, pointedly not going to answer that question. It's none of your business. It might be our business, though. If you're able to show it's not nefarious, the reasons behind it are not nefarious, then okay, fine. If it is, well, that's just if it is, if. Well, then that is corruption then, isn't it? So we would need to know about that. And the way Nigel handled it, it was just a bit odd. I won't go any further than that. I'm certainly not going to accuse him of any wrongdoing at this point. But it was just odd. When you're in the public eye, everything about you, everything about your life, certainly your personal finances, are political. He's not a normal person. Right, he's the leader of the party that is leading in the polls. Quite possibly the next prime minister. So it is political. His finances are political. So just say it's none of your business. Well, all right. Because if he had nothing to hide, I actually know this is a bit of a weak argument, but it's not complete nonsense, though, also, in this instance, anyway. If he's got nothing to hide, just show everyone. Just go, oh, well, this is Christopher Harborne. He's my friend. Interview him if you want to. We'll both sit down together for an interview if you need be. We'll have a completely... plaster off moment. We'll do a full hangout. We'll tell you everything about it, and this is what I spent the money on. Now, I didn't actually spend it all on personal personal security, but there it is. I've got nothing to hide. There you go. Well, the other point about this is that Nigel says it was all about personal security. That £5 million was supposed to be spent on his personal security because he's so in danger. That's all fair enough and reasonable, right? I'm not a fan of Nigel Farage the man, much less the politician, but I wouldn't wish a single hair on his head to be harmed, right? Genuinely, 100%, for real. So and he is in some sort of danger, right? If you look at what happened to David Amiss, then, yeah, Nigel does need sort of security. And he said the state, the police, basically, won't hardly ever help him at all or do anything. So it's up to him. Fair enough. That's all fair enough. I accept that. I completely accept that. People just need to know if there was anything that Christopher Harborne expected in return for that money. Even billionaires don't usually give away £5 million for nothing. Again, out of pure altruism. They might do, though. They might do. All right, we'll move on from it. We'll move on from that. The Metro. Ugh. Ugh. The Metro. What's that stink? What's that revolting stench? Oh, yeah, it's the Metro. It's like a filthy, damp hippie. Okay. After horrors of furnace-like France is even hotter than here, killer heat warnings. Yeah, there was electrical storms last night, I think, and the night before. Thousands of lightning bolts all across the country. Well, it's so humid. That's the thing about this heat, isn't it, Jack? It's really humid, isn't it? It's really close.
Yeah, I can't stand it. You're always sweating no matter where you go, even if you're really cool.
Yeah. I actually can handle the humid heat more than like the searing dry heat a little bit more. Just accept you're going to be sweaty. You know, like if you ever go into Southeast Asia or somewhere like the actual like jungles or anything, you just accept you're sweaty all over the whole time and sort of just get over that. Just get over it. I mean, not everyone can do it. But it isn't particularly comfortable. Okay. All right, and where it's so humid, you also get, like, the weather will sort of suddenly break, and there'll be a downpour, right, and lightning. Okay. Record 40-degree temperatures possible, and risk-to-life warnings. Yeah, the Met Office, the people that talk about the weather in Britain, the Met Office, said particularly for the south of England and parts of the Midlands, even the southwest where we are, it's sort of, it's going to be so hot that there's like what they call a risk to life warning. Again, it's only 40 degrees. That is super hot, but it's not super hot, is it? It's not like Mumbai hot. UK roasts again after 25,000 lightning strikes in single night. Okay. The eye paper. Look, Cristiano Ronaldo scored a couple of goals. This is his sixth World Cup. He's one of those football players who was brilliant even when he was like 16, 17. And now, 20 years later or whatever, he's still scoring goals. He's still one of the best. Good on him. He kept himself in good shape. The price Ed Miliband may pay to become Burnham's Chancellor. He's ready to approve Jackdaw Gasfield in North Sea. So that's one of the things that's in the news today is about starting to look at what Burnham's team, what Burnham's cabinet, what his government will look like when he gets into power. Because the other stories, we'll get to it in a moment, is that one of the other contenders other than Wes Streeting that had been bandied around, his name had been bandied around Westminster, might challenge Burnham for the top job. He's also said, like Darren Jones has also said, no, I'm not going to do that. So almost certainly Burnham will be coronated in sort of mid late July. No full leadership contest, because of course Starmer, despite everything he said, bottled it and isn't going to be bothered to contend it with him. People are saying Ed Miliband might be the next Chancellor of the Exchequer. That Rachel Reeves is out. She's going to be out. And he might pick Ed Miliband. Weirdo, absolute weirdo, Ed Miliband. Can't even eat a sandwich without being a freak about it. Freakazoid. Why is he pretending not to be a freak? Everyone can see that he's an absolute freak. Anyway, he's famously, hasn't he, over the last couple of years, been the net zero czar, pushing net zero, destroying our economy in order to push net zero, making energy prices insanely higher than they would otherwise have been because of net zero, that whole worldview. But perhaps this story is reporting that maybe, it's all speculation at this point, if he is given number 11, i.e., Chancellor of the Exchequer, head of the Treasury, HM Treasury. The Chancellor of the Exchequer gets to live next door to the Prime Minister at number 11 Downing Street. The deal there would be you, Ed Miliband, get to be Chancellor, but you do have to start drilling in the North Sea. The Jackdaw gas field. That's one of the two main gas fields in the North Sea that are sort of sitting there ready to be, literally ready to be tapped. Whether Ed wants that deal or not, I don't know. Probably would. Because being Chancellor of the Exchequer is probably the second most important office, isn't it? After Prime Minister, probably. Some people would argue it might be the Foreign Secretary is more prestigious. Or the Home Secretary is more real power. Unlimited power. But the Chancellor of the Exchequer, I think most people would agree. You know, holding all the purse strings. Okay, let's hope not. We'll see some more headlines in a moment that people in the city, business and investment people, are like saying, don't let Ed Miliband be Chancellor. We'll get to it in a moment. Britain set to break 50-year heat record. Red weather alerts issued in UK, France, Spain and Italy. Met Office forecast 39 degrees this week, smashing UK's June record from 1976. See, that's the one. 1976, hottest summer of all time. Hundreds of schools closed to cope. High humidity adds to discomfort. 29,000 lightning strikes overnight. Do not travel warnings on railways. Yeah, have you ever been in a train when it's packed on a super hot day? And it's like an actual sauna. And it stinks. And there's no escape. And the air itself is becoming superheated. And the train itself is moving, on top of everything else, it's moving really slowly, crawling along. Even just sitting there. Yeah, if you don't need to get on a train today and tomorrow, don't. I would say that's good advice. France records its hottest day since records began, hitting 44.3 degrees in Pissos. similar to interior of Sahara Desert. I say similar. I mean, not as hot as. London is cooking, says UN chief. What's the UN chief got to do with anything? UN. Spain reaches 40 degrees in the shade. It's hot. You guys get it. Right, the Mirror. Farage loses plot over the £5 million question. He did seem very, very defensive and, yeah, I mean, sort of petulant. I mean, loses the plot. I would say that's a slight exaggeration. But just saying, it's none of your, literally, that's what he's saying. It's none, he goes, it's literally none of your business to the questioner, the interview person. It's like, chill out. You're the head of a political party. It sort of is. Why are you being so weird about it? If there's nothing to hide, all right. Then we saw the front page. Oh no, Ghana. Oh no, a 0-0 draw. Still got 4 points. It's in the group stage. Probably be fine. Okay. Heatwave, red alert, meltdown. Meltdown. Health warning, schools close and travel chaos. As 1976 record is set to fall. Yeah, that thing, and one thing I would say is if it's really hot, like, don't jump in a really, really cold reservoir or lake or river. I saw a little thing this morning where they're saying you put a bit more flesh on the bones of how that kills people. Never really thought about this before, but if you're not used to that, you're really hot, and you jump in a reservoir or lake or whatever, and it's really, really cold, and you've jumped in, so you're submerged, way submerged down, and it's so cold that you involuntarily, you're not used to something like that, and you just involuntarily gasp water in. You like go, because it's the shock of it, right? But you're underwater, that just fills your lungs with water. And then you're not even buoyant anymore, so you're in a terrible, terrible situation immediately, right? Unless someone immediately pulls you out, and then what pumps your lungs or whatever, like, yeah. That can happen. That does happen. So just be careful about that. Don't do that. If you're going to get in somewhere really cold, just maybe ease yourself in rather than just jumping straight in. So you don't, as a reflex, fill your own lungs with water. Oh, horrible, really, isn't it? Horrible. Loads of people die, quite often kids, very often kids. Horrible. Be careful, be warned, that's a thing. Okay, the Sun. England 0, Ghana 0, see, they're obsessed with it. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing's gonna be all right. Singing don't worry, gonna be all right. You get it. It's a Bob Marley song, isn't it? Yeah? They treat you like such idiots, don't they? You know that Bob Marley song? Here's a pun on that. Oh, okay, great. Okay. A Daily Star, getting into the slop now. Who's that girl? I don't care. I really don't care. Okay. Was it Madonna? Is it? I don't know. Three Lions back to drawing board. It's the Boston Stranglers. The game took place in Boston. That's it, we'll move on. The Financial Times, again, even they're going with it's hot. Starmer risks clash with Bumham over defence investment blueprint. Premier wants to publish plan. Challenger, Bumham, insists on right to review the military spending. Reeves's position is in doubt. Well, she's almost certainly out, or will be. Yeah, so where's Starmer's going to stay on until, well, at least, what, July the 17th or something, at least. There's a couple of things between now and then, like a couple of different NATO meetings, I believe, at least one, where he, Starmer, wants to go there and still act like he's in power. I mean, he will technically be in power still, but still act like he controls the government and everything. But it's weird because he's... Well, it's more than a lame duck, isn't it? He's out. He's basically already out. He won't be controlling policy. He's barely been controlling policy this whole time, but he certainly won't be controlling anything in a few weeks. But yet he still wants to go to this one of these NATO, at least one of these NATO meetings, and strut around like he's one of the big players. You're not one of the big players. As soon as you announce your resignation, you're nothing. You're just a placeholder at that point, aren't you? That's all. He's a delusional person, isn't he, Starmer? Completely delusional. It's got a little bit cold. He seems to live on like a different planet to the rest of us, doesn't he, Starmer? What does he think he's doing? What does he think he's playing at? Okay. The times, the venerable times. What the style A-lists wear in Heatwave, don't care. Harry Kane failed to score a goal yesterday. All right. Starmer and Berman at odds over defence plan. Yeah, we got it. The Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph. No Stern and Burnham. I'll boost cash for defence. Prime Minister in waiting tells Labour MPs he will do more than Starmer to defend UK. Britain shuts up shop as temperatures soar. Here's a little story. I was going to talk about it the other day, but I don't think I did. Churchill's starvation claim video removed. Remember a few days ago, it was at the National Portrait Gallery. There was like an art installation, video art installation, saying that Churchill was responsible for the Bengal famine of 1943. And the Lord Roberts, Andrew Roberts of Belgravia, and 50 other peers. Me. Bit of spittle, it happens, we're live. They wrote an open letter saying this is just wrong and remove it, and it looks like the National Portrait Gallery have done so. Okay. The Daily Mail, the Mail Group, complete slop, lions tamed, okay. Don't put economy at mercy of Red Ed. Growing alarm among city leaders, that's basically business and investment, over prospect of Bumham installing left-wing net zero zealot Ed Miliband as Chancellor. Andy Burnham was last night facing demands to rule out appointing Ed Miliband as Chancellor. Senior figures from the world of business joined forces with even Burnham-backing Labour MPs to warn that the Energy Secretary would wreak havoc if he was put in charge of the economy. Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah. I would have thought so. His father was a full-blown Marxist. Full-blown. Dyed-in-the-wool Marxist. And he is some sort of crypto-communist, as far as I'm concerned. Certainly extremely left. Full-blown socialist, basically. Why would you want him in charge of the purse strings? Okay. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Nigel Farage leads Brexiteer anger as EU seeks reset talks with Andy Burnham. Don't let them get away with Brexit sellout. The Express, this is wolf in sheep's clothing stuff. This is adjacent to the Fabian Society stuff, The Express. Look, they're pretending. Don't be fooled. They're pretending that they're patriotic and on your side. Look at their little emblem. Look, it's like a crusader person. Look, they'll put the Union Jack on there. The White Cliffs of Dover. They're on our side. They're on the side of Brexit. Don't be fooled for a split second. They're as much globalist and subversive as all the others. As all the others. If there's a movement like Restore or anything like Tommy Robinson, any sort of nativism or real patriotism, Even civnatory, even that, they'll try and undermine it and destroy it and capture, assassinate all those involved and the whole nine yards. So never buy this. The Mail do the same thing, try and pull the same trick. The Telegraph do sometimes as well, that they're actually on our side. No, they're not. This is all fakery. This is all just to try and sell you a paper or get a click. They're globalists when it comes down to it. They've just decided to be pro-Brexit because they've made the calculation that will sell some papers for them. when there's an actual nativist movement, they'll try and kill it. Yeah, they'll try and... Well, take for example how they treat anyone in reform, let alone restore, anyone in reform that said anything too spicy, they'll try and destroy you. They'll try and destroy Tommy Robinson or whatever. Pretty weak stuff. But they want the best for the country. They care about Brexit, do they? Yeah, look, there's a picture of the White Cliffs and a Union flag. Filth. Pure filth. Liars. Liars upon liars upon liars. Okay, that's the front pages. Should we have a look at our poll? We usually have a look at our poll at this point of the day, don't we? Jack, if you could bring that up for me. Where have we got it? What did we ask you guys? We asked you about 1,000 votes, just over 1,000 votes. Do you want Ed Miliband to be the next Chancellor of the Exchequer? Okay, it's one of those days where the poll is, hopefully, just a slam dunk. We tee you up and you do an alley-oop slam dunk on it, hopefully. Yeah, 89% of you say no. 11% of you say yes. You best be trolling me there. You best have accidentally clicked on yes, or you're trolling me. That's the only things I'll accept. Otherwise, get out. Go on, get out. Bugger off. This isn't the podcast for you. I don't mean that. Don't go. I still love you, baby. Don't go. We can make this work. Come on. Don't go. All right. No, really, don't go. Shall we have a look at the price of oil? We usually have a look at the price of oil as well on the Bow Show, don't we? At least very briefly. Let's have a quick look, check in on it. What we got? It is West Texas at $73 a barrel. Brent crude, just shy of $77 a barrel. Remarkable, really, isn't it? About the same, or ever so slightly less, than the price of crude at the beginning of that war with Iran. Remarkable. All right, shall we see if look, there's any other sort of stories of note? There are one or two stories of note. I've been told I need to finish around 9 or 10 past 9 at the latest today for sort of technical production reasons. So I whipped through a couple of stories. Oh, look, there you go. That Darren Jones. Some people in the Westminster bubble were saying, Darren Jones, being whispered in the corridors of power. Darren Jones might launch a leadership bid against Burnham. Like sometimes there's an argument, isn't there, that just for sort of propriety's sake, that there's something not like really kind of not quite right and unfair about a coronation, political coronation, that for sort of propriety's sake there should be some contest. But even that Darren Jones is saying no, he won't do that. He's probably been offered a sweet job, hasn't he? Almost certainly. That's what it will be. Okay. Peter Morrell. Remember him? That's Wee Jimmy Cranky's ex-husband. Nicola Sturgeon. Fandabby Dozy, he got 5 years and 3 months in prison for embezzling $400,000. There you go, that was his sentence. He probably only served like 2 years, right? 2.5 years, maybe. Still. Being banged up in a Scottish prison for 2 years, probably not going to be fun. Big fat old butterball like that. He's not a hard nut, is he? Well, that's what you get for embezzling $400,000. I think theft is really bad, a really bad crime. I think it's horrible. I think he should have got a custodial sentence for that. Yeah. That's my feeling. It's now a matter of record that the S&P was harbouring a criminal for a long time. Former DUP leader Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, guilty of child sex offences, including rape. That's weird, isn't it? It seems like it's almost like loads and loads of politicians, even the very most senior politicians, are criminals. It's almost like you can get that impression, isn't it? DUP, the Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, the Unionists. Right, if anyone doesn't know. In Southern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, therefore Ireland, but in Northern Ireland, they largely want to remain, well, the Protestants there, want to remain part of the Union, Britain. And so their party is the DUP. This guy used to be the leader of them. And, yeah, he's been on trial for like 6 weeks or whatever for being a sex case. Including at least more than one rape, I think, but at least one rape of not like little kids, but still girls that were underage. He's been found guilty of it. He hasn't been sentenced yet, but he's been found guilty. Again, these people, gross. What else can you say? I mean, the word gross doesn't do any sort of justice, does it? What a wrong'un. What a filthy piece of trash. Ugh. Okay. Darren Jones again saying, "No, I'll just take a sweet job rather than actually try and become leader myself." He probably doesn't have the numbers. Probably doesn't even have the numbers. Who knows? Bill Gates went in front of a that committee to like Epstein transparency. It was a while ago, like a week or more, a little while ago, he went before, but it was behind closed doors. But they do release the transcripts, and the transcripts have just been released. And they just asked him loads about his affairs, because that was one of the big things that came out in the Epstein file dump, wasn't it? That there was some really odd email Epstein had drafted and then sent himself, which looked very much like an attempt to blackmail Bill Gates, wasn't it? Remember all that? So they just asked him loads about his affairs, Bill Gates, and his connection to Epstein. Thing I found interesting, because I don't care about all the various affairs Bill Gates had. He definitely had like at least three, right, for example. Like one was like some sort of Russian PhD doctor woman. One was a professional bridge player. One, he just had a few affairs with women, right? Over years. Melinda found out and they stayed together for another few years, but in the end she left him. They're famously divorced now, aren't they? Okay, I don't care about that. Like, Bill Gates is a cheating douchebag. Yeah, surprise, surprise. Yeah, he's a weirdo little freak douchebag. Okay, who cares? I don't care about that. Never liked him anyway. He's a weirdo freak. Yeah, just throw this data on top of that. Got it. What's important, though, isn't it, is who Epstein was. What Epstein was. What was he really? That's the crux of the matter. We all know Bill Gates is a freak. Right? What matters is what Epstein was and what he was doing. And it seems from this article, I read the whole article, it's a reasonably long article. I didn't really get to the bottom of it. There were some questions about that when they said, you know, that email that he drafted, which looked like it was going to be a blackmail attempt or was a blackmail attempt. What do you think about that? What's your thoughts and feelings on that? Like, give us your take. And Bill Gates is just like, I don't know. And that's it. That's basically it. It alleged that, didn't it, if you remember, do you remember? It alleged that Bill Gates had got an STD from some Russian woman, and that he'd asked Epstein to get him anti-STD drugs, medicines, and that he needed them for his STD, and that he surreptitiously, secretly slipped the medicine to Melinda Gates, his wife at the time. And Bill Gates said, "I never had an STD. That bit's nonsense. I never had an STD. He said it a number of times. I never asked for any medicines. I never needed any. I never gave anyone them covertly. All that bit of it is just crazy nonsense. I don't know anything about that," is what Bill Gates said. So, once again, but look, there he is. Look, they're buddies, proper good buddies. Spent loads of time together, loads of time. Bill Gates went to his island a bunch of times. Look, there they are. Obviously, Epstein hooked Bill Gates up with women, one way or the other. Not necessarily underage girls. But Bill Gates would... That's what one of the things Epstein did. If you were so rich and famous, you're so rich and famous that you can't just go to sort of some sort of normal brothel, or you can't ring up some sort of normal escort, because as soon as they see you, they're like, they know who you are. You can't do that. So you need, if you're going to get prostitutes, you need to get a prostitute who you can trust, won't just immediately, the second they leave your presence, they immediately tell the news about it. Right, it's pretty straightforward, right? You're Bill Gates, and you're bored with your wife of 27 years, and you want to get with some ridiculously hot, much, much, much younger Russian woman. That's what you want. You're Bill Gates, and that's what you want. Epstein can hook you up with that. Discretion. That's what Epstein will give you. Discretion. These women will never talk. Jeffrey will see to that. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But then... Jeffrey knows all your secrets then, though, doesn't he? If he did want to destroy you, he's got all the receipts then, though, hasn't he? It's not that complicated, is it? All right. Was there any other stories? Peter Morrell, Wee Jimmy Cranky's husband. Well, look, one of the players for Ghana is allegedly a rapist, or maybe a rapist. What's his name? Thomas Partey. This dude here plays for Ghana, used to play for Arsenal. He's currently facing a criminal trial on several rape charges in England against British or English women, I believe. All right. Well, he's out on bail, is he? Some of the England players didn't want to shake his hand or give him a high five because of that. All right, should we have a look on this day in history? It's already quarter to. I'm supposed to finish the show about 9 or just after 9. So let's rumble rants and super chats to get through as well. All right, let's do on this day in history, 24th of June, down through the centuries. What happened of note? We've got in the year 1497, John Cabot claims parts of North America for England in what is now Eastern Canada, believing he has found Asia in Newfoundland. Yeah, it took quite a while, really, in the Age of Discovery, for them to accept that the New World, both North and South America, wasn't Asia. Right? Christopher Columbus went to his grave believing that the Caribbean was the Spice Islands, or rather part of Asia. Went to his grave thinking that. All right. On this day in 1509, Henry VIII is crowned King of England in Westminster Abbey. Doing Henry VIII at the moment. Remember, it was always supposed to be his brother. He had an older brother, didn't he, Arthur? Henry VIII was never meant to be king. It was always going to be his older brother, Arthur, and they brought up Henry VIII to be in the church. But then his older brother Arthur just died of natural causes. And Henry VIII became king when he was quite young. I think he was like 17, 18, was he? So he became king quite young. Okay, on this day is when he was crowned in Westminster Abbey. All right. On this day in 1812, Napoleon Bonaparte's Grande Armée, numbering 500,000, those numbers are disputed, some say more, some say less, about 500,000, begin their invasion of Russia by crossing the Niemen River. Again, I've got like, what, 8, 9, 10-part series about Napoleon. That was sort of the key moment for Napoleon. That decision to invade Russia in 1812. He never recovered from that decision. So the Peninsular War was already going very badly by 1812 in Spain. Napoleon decided he needed to take out his last giant enemy, the Tsar. If you've ever watched The Princess Bride, you'll know that it's one of the classic blunders, getting involved in a land war in Russia. One of the classic blunders. He did get all the way to Moscow, better than Mr. Hitler did, Army Group Center, Operation Typhoon. He did better than them. He got to Moscow and occupied Moscow. But the Tsar and his armies, Tsar Alexander, just retreated further into sort of the effectively endless hinterland of Russia, waited him out till winter, general winter. And Napoleon had to retreat back westwards through the Russian winter and lost most of his army to exposure. And then never, ever regained the strategic initiative again. The Russians, effectively the Russians, and then the Prussians, chased him all the way back to Paris over the course of the next year. He never recovered. It was the beginning of the end. All right. We could talk about that for hours and hours and hours. In fact, already have, haven't I? Good would do it again. Maybe I'll do long-form epochs, a series of epochs, just about the 1812 Russian campaign of Napoleon Bonaparte. Do it in silly detail. That'd be cool. I'd like that. I'd enjoy that. Okay, on this day in 1853, US President Franklin Pierce signs the Gadsden Purchase, buying 29,670 square miles, which is 76,800 square kilometres, from Mexico for $10 million, which is now southern Arizona and southern New Mexico. Yeah, one of those great land purchases. Done under duress, of course. Absolutely done under duress. There's the American-Mexican War. Mexico didn't really have much of a choice in that. America, the United States, was gracious enough to give them any money. They could have just completely annexed it if they wanted to. Okay, there's much more to that story. Can't go into it here. Need to get finished up. On this day in 1930, first detection of an airplane using reflected radio waves, a precursor to radar, by US Naval Research Laboratory engineers in Anacostia, Washington, D.C. Yeah, interesting. It was largely, actually, the British, later in the 30s, that sort of perfected radar. Yeah, the first one, the Americans. It's interesting to note, because history usually thinks it was the Brits that did it first. A bit like the Manhattan Project, they think, oh, the Americans were the first to conceive of the splitting of the atom and that you could make a nuclear bomb from that. No, that was British. That was the likes of Rutherford at the Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge. When the Americans first thought, is this possible? They came to the Brits and said, is this possible? And the Brits said, yeah. They thought if he was going to make a nuclear bomb out of sort of fissionable enriched uranium, it might be like 40 tons. It might be the size of a building. It was like, no. And the Brits, the British physicists, were like, no, it'd be possible. It will be possible to make a thing only a few pounds big, the core. Anyway, on this day, 1948, Soviet Union blockades West Berlin by stopping access by road, rail and water. Yeah, so the Berlin airlift. Stalin decided, because Berlin sits in East Germany. And West Berlin was just basically an enclave of the Western allies, the United States, Britain, France. The United States, mainly. And old Joe Stalin wanted to cut that off. And, you know, cut that little enclave out to have the whole of Berlin under his control. But the Americans decided to do an airlift, just fly in and drop all the supplies needed for half a city. Daring Stalin to sort of shoot those airplanes out of the sky, which would have been World War III at that point, wouldn't it? And the Americans had nukes and the Russians didn't at that point. Is that right? When did the Russians first get there? I think it was after that. So Stalin blinked, basically. The Berlin airlift goes on until early 1949. But at that point, Stalin sort of relents and blinks. Okay, on this day in 2022, US Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, eliminating the constitutional right to choose abortion in a 6-3 vote. Yeah, good in my opinion. Roe v. Wade led to untold numbers of unborn babies being murdered. That's my opinion. So good. Good that it was overturned. It was always a travesty. In my opinion. All right, should we have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Again, if we're going to end by 9 or 5:10 past at the latest. Let's have a look at the Rumble Rants first. We always do the Rumble Rants first, don't we? Oh, there's not that many Super Chats today. Okay. All right, Rubber Rants, have we got global church history in at number one? Yes, we do. Mr. History, first name global, middle name church, surname history, says, on this day in 474 AD, Julius Nepos was made Western Emperor, in brackets, some call him the last, brackets. All right, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. It's Romulus Augustulus, isn't it? Pretty sure I've done, well, I have done content about that, haven't I? I'm pretty sure I've done long-form content about Romulus Augustulus and the last... Yeah, I have. There's at least one episode on there where I remember in conversation with Carl talk about some of the last events that led up to the destruction and ending of the Roman Empire in the West. I mean, like, Alaric already sacked Rome in, like, 410 AD. You know, so, like, 60, 65, 70 years or whatever before that. Some people say, all different historians disagree over when really, when exactly, when de facto the Western Roman Empire ended. Most people, including me, will say it was Romulus Augustulus, which is about this time. It's like 1 year later or whatever. Some historians like to say that it was that Nepos, Julius Nepos. It was Romulus Augustulus. Okay. And the second factoid you've got for us this morning, global church history, you say the Battle of Sluys was won with 166 ships captured in 1340. That's Edward III. That's Edward III. Wars of the Roses. 100 Years' War. Edward III, a naval engagement with the French just off the coast of modern day Belgium, Holland, where Belgium, Holland are, right there, just off the coast. At really, really, really pivotal battle. It's one of those battles that a lot of people haven't heard of. If you're a history nerd, you will have heard of. That's just completely pivotal. If that went the other way, history would have been really quite different, quite possibly. So yeah, it's a key one. Talk all about it if you're interested. When I did my long form content about Edward III. So there you go. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, sponsoring membership, loadseaters.com. Okay, let's get through the rest. Pigdog5150 says, my comment from yesterday, Burnham, father, a Roman legionary. Oh yeah, I remember that. I didn't get what you meant. Okay, you're going to explain it hopefully here. Cool. Should have been centurion. Was my favourite scene from Life of Brian, where his mother tells him his father was a Roman. Hilarious film. Oh, okay, I get it. I get it now. Because there was that thing, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. But Burnham's a Messiah without a mandate. Okay, I got it now. Yeah, that is quite a funny scene, actually. When she tells him his father was a Roman. Okay. Cool, well, thanks for clarifying that. Okay, St. Luke, the Aussie St. Luke. Luke Stewart says, g'day, Bo. G'day, mate. And everyone. How are you all doing this chilly Wednesday evening? Oh, it's not chilly. It's baking. Is it chilly on down in Oz? Well, it'd be your winter, wouldn't it? At night in winter, even in Australia, could be chilly. If you don't get to do a video reading out Rupert Lowe's rape gang report, Asmongold did a 7-ish hour stream on it. Yeah, I said that. It was Monday, wasn't it? It was Monday this week. I did a good sort of 10, 15, maybe even 20 minute bit, didn't I, about it. And I gave props to Asmongold for that. Yeah. Yeah. I watched a big chunk of it myself. Yeah. Absolute props to Asmongold. Yeah. Did a good service to the world, certainly to England, for that. Appreciate it. Phasmagold, if you ever see this, I genuinely appreciate that. I can't say that with any more sincerity. Thank you, sir. Okay. Pigdog5150 says, worked finance for 20 years, left 3 years ago to be farmer. Huh. Drinking 7 litres a day. It's a bit warm. Don't miss the aircon office one bit. Oh, cool. Decided to actually go out and do a real job. Yeah. I worked in, well, I also worked in finance for about 18 years, 19 years. At some point, yeah, obviously didn't change to become a farmer, but at some point you're like, that's enough. Okay, I'm done. Okay. Made a little bit of bank, but I'm done. This is destroying my soul. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Okay, on paper, I've got a good job and stuff, but what am I really doing here? Is this what I want to do? Is this what I want to do with my life? Yeah, okay. You got out after 20 years. They give you less for murder sometimes, don't they? Well done for getting out, though. Like getting out of the hood. Escape the hood. Escaping a finance career. Okay, next couple, next three, next, oh, all the next four, all the remaining ones are all Luke Stewart. So I whip through them because I need to, it's just turned nine, so I need to. Sorry about that, Luke, but I'll just read them, get through them. He said, I found a funny meme. Hard times make strong men make good times. Good times make liberal women make hard times. What's your opinion? I think that's highly accurate. I mean, yeah. Yeah, sounds quite accurate. In various ways. Next one is, you said, you want humid? Come to Queensland. It fluctuates between 80 and 99% humidity, and then we average between 25 and 35 degrees on a normal day, and we consider anything under 18 the ice age here. Yeah. Queensland, yeah. Oh, God. I was going to say, yeah, some places in Australia, northern Australia, up in like Darwin and stuff. 40 degrees is no big deal. It's par for the course. Okay. The next two. Where did you get the idea to call him Bumhand? I don't know. I call him Bumham. Could call him Bumhand. That is funny too. We're going to need a new name for them now that Queer Stalin is leaving. I don't know. I've always had quite a sort of a churlish... Not churlish, a sort of a childish, puerile sense of humour. Like if your name rhymes with anything like bum or dick or whatever. Like the playground, like you're 9 years old. I've still got a sense of humour that's like, yeah, quite... yeah, anything like that. Burn is close enough to bum. That's all. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Burnham, Bumham, all right, you get it. And they say, did you check up on that Paul Powsland fellow? No, I didn't. Who is looking at 2 years in jail for clearing a river that was just completely clogged with bags of garbage? No, I didn't. Sorry, I should do. I will do. Okay, I will do. Sorry about that. Was that in Australia, was it? You'll have to let me know if that was in Australia, but I'll have a look at that. Sounds like a terrible, terrible miscarriage of justice. Ridiculous. All right, and then we've only got a few super chats, YouTube super chats this morning, so I'll read those, and then we'll finish the show. Okay, what have we got here? Ben Kane 294 says, "Morning, Bo. Morning. Thanks for making bald sexy again." It's basically me and Sean Connery. Thank you. That's very flattering, Ben. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Mr. Dickie Bingo, not Dinky Bingo. Mr. Dickie Bingo, who I've met in real life, and he's a great bloke. He said, whomever Bumham picks, there'll be a deluded pinko. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Most of the people that are there now, big, big, big chunk of the government cabinet that's there now, will remain in place. Loads of them. Almost certainly. Like Yvette Cooper, Mahmood, Miliband. A whole bunch of them. Or they said even Rachel Reeves won't be the Chancellor anymore, but she'll probably still be in cabinet somewhere else. They'll move her to culture or something. They'll move her to... Like only one or two of die-hard Starmer ultras will be completely out. It'll be largely the same government. Some are saying maybe Lamy is out. Yeah, and they'll all be deluded pinkos, yes. Because that's what it takes to be a Labour MP. Yeah. Horrible, isn't it? It'll be much the same. It'll be the same stuff, all the same stuff. More safe and legal routes, running the economy into the ground, da-da-da-da-da. All right. Maxentius Decimus says, Sargon, please look at the Montreal Shooter Manifesto. Yeah, I heard about that. We made a video about that for State of Politics. State of Politics. The other night. Apparently it was an incel one. It was one of those incel ones. That's what I heard. I haven't read the manifesto myself. I just saw a headline saying that. Sargon, please look at Montreal Shooter Manifesto. Okay. My advice to any incels, go to the gym, get in shape, start reading, make yourself an interesting person, and get in shape. You won't be an incel for very long if you do those two things, I guarantee you. All right. Ben Kane again says, any comments on the Sun's next PM poll? And then you just say, Rupert, 60%. Oh, I don't know. The Sun's next PM poll, what, there's one that's out. And it says Rupert 60%. Is that the case? That sounds cool. I wasn't aware of it until I just read that. So maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. Maybe I'll find that and talk about that tomorrow. If that's true. Nice. Nice. Okay, and last one, Luke Stewart. St. Luke gets involved in Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Brilliant. All right, you've put, no Paul from my country. Maybe there's meant to be a comma there. I don't know. You've put, no Paul from my country, Britain, apparently. He didn't have a permit or something. I don't know exactly what you're talking about there. You're replying to somebody else called Paul.
The guy who cleaned up the river.
Oh! Right. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're quite right. Paul Powelsland. Right. No, Paul was from your country, Britain. He's a British guy. Apparently he didn't have a permit or something. Okay. Got it. Perfect. I'll look that up. Luke, because you're a super fan, I will look that up. Okay, one more has just ticked in from Azzy, another super fan. He says, any advice for being disciplined? I'm S-H-I-D at it. Disciplined. Just set yourself goals. That's the classic thing. Set yourself a goal, whatever it is, an achievable one. Put the bar higher, but make it achievable. And then in your mind, it's easier said than done this, but in your mind, you are going to achieve that goal, whatever it is. Even if it's a... Right, Jack, you're a gym bro. Jack's actually a full, proper gym bro with decent upper body and everything. How do you discipline yourself? What do you do? What mental games do you play?
I just mainly focus on at least twice a week going to the gym. I mean, if you miss a day, it's not the end of the world, but as long as you make it up by going at least twice a week, then you will see gains. You will see improvements. Like, don't punish yourself if you miss one day. Just try and get back on it the next day.
Jack's a proper gym bro. He's got lats. Sometimes people in the office just call him lats. He's got proper... upside down V, small waist, massive upper body. So that's proper advice. Don't beat yourself up, but set a goal. And in your mind, you've got to be like, I'm going to get that goal. I'm going to do it. Make it achievable. It's on you. Once you're an adult, right, and you've got no parent, no teacher telling you must do X, Y, Z, it's just on you. Yeah, learn to set yourself achievable goals and learn to... achieve them. Easier said than done, though, isn't it? All right. I'll stop being preachy. That's the show. It's now 9:08 in the AM, British summertime, on Wednesday, 24th of June, in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being the glorious band, the chosen few, my band, your brothers and sisters. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem. Stay safe. Stay hydrated. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time, by far. Try and make a count if you can. All right then, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.